For me, lungfish have always been just a really mysterious species. They're hard to find. You know, if you're not actively looking for a lungfish, you'll never see it. It sort of just lives on the bottom of the river and just goes about its business and doesn't make itself obvious at all. But once you do sort of get one in your hands, you realise that it looks like nothing else, you know what I mean? It grows to 1.5 metres, it can breathe air. It's got an active lung that it uses, so it can breathe air directly from the atmosphere, or it can breathe underwater like a normal fish. So it has a dual respiratory function there. You know, in terms of its limbs, it's got, you know, bony structures that are within its fins. So, you know, that was one of the most interesting things for researchers at the start, because, you know, everyone was looking for missing links and things like that from you know, aquatic to terrestrial sort of species. And this was one of those species that, you know, was unlike any other. So people started to think, oh, you know, this is the first transition from water to land and things like that. So, it was, you know, all those things contribute to them being just a really, really interesting species to work on.
It is air breathing?
Yes. It's facultative, so it can breathe air, but it also generally just breathes underwater like a normal fish through its gills.
Can live to be 100 years old?
There's been speculation for a long time about how long it can live. We've got one particular example of a lungfish that was sent to the Shedd Aquarium in Chicago in 1933. That was an adult fish when it went, so it was probably a big fish, you know, 70 centimetres to a metre long, and it's still there today. So
Wow. It
would be 85 years old, and, you know, I would say they could live to 100 years. Yeah, definitely.
And the other thing, they haven't really changed in 140 million years.
They're pretty much the same as they were back then, yeah.
That's incredible. I'm so excited about that. You've sent me all these things, Tom, and I've been reading them, and I'm just like, this is my new favourite animal.
Yeah.
Like they're right here in the
That's
Bundaberg
right.
region.
They're right in Bundaberg, and yeah, no one really knows about them, so.
We have no idea where the lungfish young are, though. That's what a big part of your study, is
yeah.
that right?
So from when they were first found in 1870 here in the Burnett, ever since back then, you know, researchers and naturalists that were working on the species back then could never find baby ones. So we can find the eggs, we can hatch the eggs, but from there until they're about 30 centimetres long, you just don't see them anywhere in their distribution. So it's been a mystery from back then, and we still don't know why even now.
Have you got any theories, though?
There are different theories around. You know, one is that they grow very rapidly to that size. Another theory from way back when is that they'll actually bury themselves in the mud, in soft mud and sediments for the first 3 years of their life and only come out after that. And the third theory, I suppose, is that they're just not reproducing anymore.
So how did you come to start studying the lungfish, and how long have you been studying the lungfish?
Yeah, so I've been studying lungfish with a couple of colleagues here in Bundaberg for about 8 to 10 years. We first came across lungfish because we do ecological monitoring for water resource plans, which are legislation dealt out by the government. These species were identified and prioritised by us because they're linked to flow. So we thought, you know, flow has some impact on natural flow in the rivers has an impact on this species, and we deal with water management, so we need to see what effect is being had on these species, and you know, are they happy with the way that we're using water?
What are their numbers like, and are they only really found just in a few small pockets around
here? Think they're pretty common and widespread in the Burnett and the Mary catchments.
But that's it, nowhere else in Australia?
No, there's a translocated population that was moved across to the Brisbane River in the late 1800s. There is still a population there now, but that's probably a little bit more fragmented in that pocket scenario that you're saying. There's patches here and there, but in the Burnett and the Mary, they're pretty common throughout, yeah.
Big part of your study is trying to work out where their numbers are, how they're doing, and why we don't find the young. So yeah. This has led to you sort of trying to work out the age of some of the fish that you come across.
Yeah. So any sort of species that you want to try and manage, you need to know, you know, what the age structure of the population is. You know, how many old fish are there, how many young fish, and how many in between. That was a significant hurdle for lungfish, because normally with fish, you can pull their ear bones out, and the ear bones have rings on them, like a tree ring or something like that. And you can count you pretty much count the winters. So every ring that you see on the thing is like a winter, so it's equivalent to a year. We've done that with other fish species before, but this species is so primitive that it's just got a jelly ear bone. It's not even a solid calcified structure in there. So that was the first hurdle. So then we had to look at novel means of aging it, and we came to that radioactive carbon dating technique,
So carbon dating the lungfish using their scales, is that right?
Yeah, so the scales was the only hard structure that we knew. You look at a scale and they're probably, you know, 50 millimetres, like they're big scales.
Wow.
And you can see the rings of growth over the years on that. So thought, yeah, this could be possible to try and, you know, we knew they were long-lived, so, you know, the whole radiocarbon dating technique is based on the spike in carbon-14, which is radioactive carbon that was let loose by the nuclear testing in the Pacific in the 50s and 60s. So it peaked then, and then from there it's got a half-life, so it's been decaying. So you can use that curve, that graph, to start to predict when fish were born based on the radioactive carbon that you'd find where that scale first started.
Mm.
So where the scale first started is what we call the origin of the scale. We take a reading from there, look at the concentration of radioactive carbon, and then relate it to that atmospheric curve.
Has it been used on fish before, this technique?
It's the first time it's been used on a freshwater fish using a scale. Primarily in the past, it's been used on old growth trees, corals and stuff like that, which live for a very long time. And more recently, things like sharks and deep sea fish as well. But this is the first time it's been used on a freshwater fish, yeah.
Should we be concerned we are losing this living fossil?
I don't know if concern is the word, but when you look at a population and you only see big ones and not little ones, it strikes you because, you know, you expect to see babies and things like that, but they're still very common.
Now, I have seen a photo of you holding one of these giant lungfish.
Yep.
How do you catch these lungfish these tagging?
Yeah, we catch them in different techniques. One is electrofishing, so we have a generator on a boat that generates a current of electricity into the water and stuns them momentarily.
Mm-hmm.
We then net them and put them on the boat. Fike nets are another technique, so they're nets that you put across creeks and rivers and they sort of channel fish and other things into them. These are all the techniques we sample them. Once you've got them on the boat is another story. They're big, powerful animals, so when you try and hold them, they're kicking around and flailing everywhere, and they're covered in this really thick protective sort of slime that grows on the outside. Yeah. So you generally end up covered in all of that, and
it
takes you about 3 showers to wipe it all off. But you know, it's all in the name of science. That's all good. Yeah.